All right, cool. And welcome to the Rondo. We're back after a little break, but don't worry, guys, we're back. This is actually the penultimate ever Rondo podcast.
What?
So, guys, no, we're not.
We're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah.
The Rondo as you know it.
The Rondo as you know it. We're coming back rebranded. That's what we've been working on. It's going to be cold. We're going to become...
New levels, you know what I'm saying?
New levels. We're going to become the best media channel out there. Ooh. But don't worry, guys. We're going to say more on that. But just know that the Rondo's coming back more as a media group, shall we say. Yeah, I like 100%. That. I like that.
That's always...
But anyway, today, vibes, the podcast is still here. The second last?
Phenomenal.
There we go. Yeah, phenomenal was the better term to use. But I tried to just...
Let's just move on.
Yeah. But anyway... We're back, and unfortunately, I'm a Liverpool fan because we dropped points today, and we are going to be discussing everything Premier League as normal. But without further ado, it's your boy AA hosting, as always. I am joined today by
Marcus, the co-host. You know what it is.
Come on, and also
Raphael. I'm here.
How you feeling?
I'm not happy with the result or how we played, but I'm happy that you failed.
Fairs.
And that brings me joy.
Does it so?
Yes, it does.
Nice to see that you're still a bastard. So anyway, without further ado, let me actually just look at the agenda.
Okay, you failure in every aspect.
Okay, cool. No, I've got it. I've got it here. Don't be chatting too much, squarehead, you know.
You're right with already.
Anyway, we're going to start off, obviously, with the Liverpool United game. A huge game in the title race today. Away at Old Trafford for myself. 2-2. Big draw. Then we're going to go into the title race, kind of what that means for the title race. Have Liverpool bottled the title? Who has it gone to now? Then we're going to move into Harry Kane.
The curse of the Kane.
That's curse with a K.
Just remember the conversation we had.
Well, the league is all but lost. Leverkusen gapping them by 16 points. And then moving into Rondos or Nots, if you've got any for the week, little weekly roundup, little weekly reflections.
I might share some stuff on Chelsea as well.
Yeah.
We might get into that.
There we go. So that'll be a good Rondo or not. Finally talk a bit on your club.
Oh, shut up.
And then we will finish off with our little bonus question. On this week, we're going to be doing our best. What was it? Let me talk to him, ballers. The ballers that we just, you know, everyone seems to have given up on him, but for some reason, you yourself, you've got some faith in him. You believe that there's still a player there.
You know he's not really like that. The real him is somewhere deep inside. You get?
I got a few.
All right, without further ado, United versus Liverpool. I've been talking for a little bit of a while, so I've got
Raf's thoughts on that.
A fair bit to say. But yeah, let's go to Raf. Talk to us. What's your thoughts on the game?
To be honest... I come here smiling, I come here laughing, but it's not because it's nothing to do with United. There's no praise I can give to them.
Okay.
There's a few players, a few moments I can give praise to.
Yeah.
But that team, that manager, there's not much more to say. We already know what's going on here.
Okay, so that it doesn't really excite you.
It doesn't give me hope for the next few games. I don't think we'll use this as a launch pad to get that fifth place or fourth place and get Champions League. I think our season's still over. If our season wasn't over after the Villa game, definitely over after that Chelsea game. There's not much more to say with United. But Liverpool on the other hand. Wow.
Yeah.
You man are rubbish.
Damn.
You man are... No, do you know what it is, yeah? It's weird. Like, you man, you're good but bad. You're actually an enigma. You're kind of like the elite version of United, if that makes sense.
It doesn't. Explain.
Like, you see, okay, if you watched a compilation of all the goals United have scored this season, yeah, and nothing else, you'd think, wow, that was a team there. Like, you see that Bruno goal, you see that Mainu goal, you're like, wow. Then you watch the rest of it, you see their shambles. Liverpool are doing that, but somehow in a title race, man, it's beautiful. But
Liverpool arguably should have scored a lot more goals that game as well.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, but there's some reason when they go to Old Trafford, they lose all sense. And
have a great record at Old Trafford.
Klopp, it's weird, man. It's like he can't take his team in at halftime and like instill any sense of composure. And that's quite worrying going into a title race like this, a three-legged race.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the thing is...
the chickens will come home to roost.
Yeah, yeah. I think the thing is with Klopp, right, when you look at our system, it's obviously a system which kind of promotes more chaos than you look at when you look at Man City and Arsenal. And I think the thing is, he probably should have implemented more of a level of control into our tactics, because it just doesn't really work with the quality of forwards that we have at the moment. Because, you know, this kind of basketball game that we've had with United kind of twice now this season, we should have smoked them. We should have been well ahead, but we miss a lot of chances, like through Diaz and Nunes. It's not the same as back in the day when you had the Firmino, the Mane, a prime Salah, where you can have this sort of end-to-end game and we win like 5-2 or whatever it is.
You're taking most of your chances.
Yeah, now it's just not the same. We miss a lot of chances. So,
and you have a bozo up top.
Oh my, he was horrible.
Shot selection is just...
he was terrible, man.
Doesn't make sense.
His miss, I don't even know if I can call it a miss. Because it was like a shot?
Who knows?
Bro, it was like a brain spasm.
Yeah.
Like, didn't shoot or cross. And yeah, it's just shocking, isn't it? Like, I don't even... like, he mishit it 2 yards out.
And Diaz's miss as well.
Yeah, Diaz's miss in like the 86th minute was awful. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that's a big thing. And I think that's what probably will cost us the title. Like, when you look at Arsenal and City, the level of control they're able to implement over their games from the 0 to the 90. Arsenal, the form that they're in now, like, they're just... every element of their game, every minute of their game, they seem comfortable, they seem dominant.
Control.
Ours just swing this way and that way way too much. And then we don't have the killers up top to at least really take advantage of it when it's in our way. So,
ain't that a shame?
Unfortunately, I can't really see us winning the league.
Whoa.
I like...
Hold on.
I feel like this is the first time you said that out loud.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Let's look at the Premier League table right now. So on top of the table, you have Arsenal with 71 points.
The second,
no, they're 71.
71 points.
71, okay.
The second place, you have Liverpool with 71 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying, how can you say you don't back your team?
You're saying that you don't think you're going to win the league, you're not backing your team. They're level on points.
Yeah, we're level on points.
They're level on points with Arsenal.
I don't think...
are you sure?
Yeah, 100% they're level on points.
Oh, come on, man.
Exactly.
We got to have some hope. I think we'll drop
points. Hope. How can you be on level on points and say you can't?
I have hope.
No, you don't.
I think we have a good chance.
So basically, Arsenal are a better team in general than Liverpool.
On form, they are.
That's not what I asked you. Arsenal are a better team than Liverpool.
I don't know if they're a better team.
So why can't you? If they're not a better team, why can't you back yourselves?
Because they're in better form.
You can pick up form.
This form of Arsenal, I don't know. This form of Arsenal is crazy. I don't know if this is... I'm hoping this ain't them. I'm hoping they drop off. But right now...
but people said the same about Liverpool's form.
What do you mean?
People said the same about Liverpool's form at some point in the season.
Yeah, but I don't think we've ever actually had form this good as Arsenal.
I think you're being a coward.
Yeah.
I think you're being a coward. So, for you to be level on points, top of the table right now, obviously you're second by goal difference, and not back your team, it's outrageous. You've been second and City have been a couple points ahead of you. You've been like, yeah, we're going to chase them. We're going to win the quadruple. Where's that air?
What's changed now?
Where's that air?
And what happened? And what happened every time? We lost the league. It was too many title races, man. And I'm already seeing cracks in our system. I'm not investing my heart into it another time. Listen, if we win the league, I'll be on top of the world. I'm going to support every game. But do I believe we'll win the league? No, I'm taking my heart out of it, man.
Talking like a cuck right now.
Yes. And what, man?
That's a shame,
man.
And what, man?
Liverpool boys, talk to your guy, man.
Yeah,
talk to your guy. No faith in Klopp whatsoever. This guy is...
I've got a lot of faith in
Klopp. His final bow. You don't think he's going to go over the bench?
If you're asking me to be honest, I don't see it anymore.
That's crazy. After one game, you didn't lose the game.
I've been thinking this for a while. I've just been.
Oh my!
I've just been just having that willpower and just believing.
By the way,
that's shameless
for the audience. This is not how he moves in the group chat. Yeah, so I don't know who this guy is right now.
This is shameless.
Now.
This guy's been talking about a second arc for a year and a half now.
Well, it's a good season.
Hmm?
Finishing second is not a good season. Like second in what, a Carabao Cup?
No, I think from where we were last season, I think, and a lot of what people can...
bro, from where you are right now, it's a shit season, bro.
Yeah, obviously you want to win the league.
I can hear it in your voice. You don't even believe what you're saying right now.
Yeah, man, it is what it is. I'm deflated.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying?
After a 2-2 at Old Trafford.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
In most people's books, that's not a bad result, is it?
I just don't know if we're going to win the league, honestly. I don't have that. I haven't really had the confidence for a little while, just in terms of the way that we're playing. Listen, with the way that the tactics that we go along with and the chaotic nature that we approach games, you need killers in the front line.
You know that meme?
Diaz and Nunes miss chances, bro.
You know that meme of an elephant sitting on like a tree branch and it's about to break?
Yeah.
And it's basically like, Liverpool shouldn't be where they are. That's how you're talking. Like, you don't even deserve to be where you are right now.
I don't know if we don't deserve to be where we are, because at the end of the day, we've got the points. So we just, I just, so don't,
if you got, I just the don't points, know if why we can't you
follow
go
through? Because of the things, oh, I mentioned.
But why have you only just changed your mind?
No, I've been thinking this for a
and
little
so quickly.
A while. I've been thinking
and
this
so you were so thinking drastically.
It, you were 2 points ahead, 3 points ahead. Yeah. You're still thinking of that.
Yeah, I was thinking.
So when did you first think about this?
I think we can drop points.
When did you first think about this?
To be honest, I feel like it.
Or have you ever believed?
I did believe for a period of time, but I feel like Arsenal keeping on their form, City kind of just, well, I always
City
knew
haven't been great this
I always
season.
Knew City were just going to kind of be there. I think it really set in after the City game. I think when we didn't win that game and I saw the finish on display from Diaz, and I know how erratic Nunes can be, I said, with the way that we approach games, with the guys that we have in the front line, I don't know if we can do it consistently.
If the fans don't believe, how the players gonna believe?
Do you know what I mean?
Title done, bro.
Yeah, so we've got a good chance. We've got a good chance. But if you want me to think that we're the favourites, we're not my favourites.
Who's your favourites really? To win the league?
It's probably still City. I think Arsenal.
Hold on.
By the way.
But so you said you stopped believing in Liverpool because of the form Arsenal are in, but City are your favourites to win the league.
No, Arsenal and City though. No, I said the way Arsenal and City play. It's not really. The form City.
No, that's not what you said.
No, it's both. It's both.
That's not what you said was, the form Arsenal are in makes you think that Liverpool can no longer win it.
No, Arsenal, it's what makes me think Liverpool are probably third in the pecking order.
Wow. So you think...
You told a lot of men this season that Liverpool finished above Arsenal. Now you just changed the whole tone.
Yeah, I'm a bit...
What do you mean, man? Football changes. What do you want from me?
An apology?
Yeah.
I'm not apologizing to nobody.
An admission of shamelessness.
You ain't getting nothing from me.
Just say you were wrong.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's it.
Say that, yeah.
Say it then.
Say it.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Say it louder.
That's as loud as I say.
Write it down on the board.
That's as loud as I say.
I want you to say, Jalen, Joel, Corey, Ish, I was wrong.
Look into the camera.
Look into the camera and say it.
No problem. Fuck you, man.
Fair enough.
Anyway, man, have we got anything else to say kind of about the game?
Yeah, man. Talk to me about Kwanzaa.
Oh,
yeah, that was a big error. I don't know if it was right to start him.
Yeah, you
20
said that.
Years of age. I know he's had a really good season. I know he's got a lot of talent, but I feel like you just go with Konate, man.
I have no idea where Klopp decided to go.
Konate's got errors like that.
Shush,
in him
man.
As well.
I don't get upset now. I don't feel like it was wise, kind of throwing Kwanzaa into all of that. To be honest, he actually had a good game outside of that, but it's these moments that you need
that experience,
that maturity, because how he's just playing a pass across the back foot and not looking. He didn't look, getting too comfortable. At this level, that's the way you can be punished. But because, to be honest...
Great finish from Bruno.
It was a great finish. Yeah. He probably... Because that's the way they can punish you, because probably at, you know, academy level, maybe the championship is where he played last season. Players aren't going to take that first time. You're still going to have a chance at recovering.
But
Bruno came in, bang.
But to be
that's
fair...
That's where they can kill you.
To be fair, the first half... So that happened in the first half of the second half, like the first 5-10 minutes.
Okay, cool.
But the first half, like the first 10-15 minutes of the first half started the same way, really. And it was more Robertson and Szoboszlai losing the ball. In fact, Robertson was trying to concede.
Yeah, Robertson didn't have a great start to
No,
the
not at all. So I don't really think it's fair to blame Kwanzaa. I think your team...
Well, he made a huge error, though.
No, I agree. But I think there was something about the way Liverpool started both halves. I don't know if you want to blame that on the gaffer or not. I will. That meant like your team started very much kind of shaky under pressure.
I just think they just started a bit jittery. You're playing away from home.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making. And whose fault is that?
I think it's just the players. Like, you got to adapt. Okay. I don't feel like...
If you say so.
Listen, I've spoken about Klopp's tactics already. I think they're just a little bit too chaotic for the players that we've got in our front line. I think that's the only thing I'll put against him.
So you're blaming the manager then?
Yeah, I did. I already did that. But I don't...
No, you just said it was the players a second ago.
Huh?
You just said it was the players
on
a
your
ago.
Point.
Okay.
On your point. Okay. On them starting jittery.
Okay.
I don't really feel like that's more an overall point. There's kind of differences there, like kind of learn nuances.
Sure.
But yeah, basically, I don't feel like Konsa should have started.
I would like to highlight some things about the game. Mostly to do with United. I don't know, get Raf's take on this. So firstly, a new kid has come onto the block, Kambuala.
Yeah.
I mean, he was putting quite a shift in defence. I was quite impressed with him.
I thought he played really well.
Quite passionate.
Yeah, man.
A bit of a loser.
I'd like to see him have a bit of a role next season in the squad. I think he's got kind of all the traits you really want in a young centre back.
Is he able to distribute the ball properly, like pass out?
Yeah. Okay. I think he played.
He's not the tallest though.
I don't think he's short.
I told you he looked like
6 foot.
Yeah,
but
I think he's a bit taller than that. I think physically though, he looks very strong and he's rapid as well. There was one point in the first half where he lost the ball on the wing. I think Nunes was driving and like, yeah. And he got in front of him. Like, his recovery pace is crazy. He's very aggressive and front-footed as well, which I like in a centre-back. I think him and Maguire, I think what was the difference a lot for United, we did get to play on the front foot quite a bit and we got to press a lot more as a team than we usually did. And I think Maguire and Kambala's inclusion helped that because I think they are very aggressive. They're happy to kind of step forward, step ahead 10 yards. And when the ball does come into the striker to engage him, mm-hmm. I think Varane, Lisandro, and that
Pussy Lindelof will never do that. Maguire was actually doing all right. He was being quite front foot and aggressive.
But that's him. I think
because he felt a bit more comfortable because he had a quicker centre back next
mate,
to him.
Yeah, that as well. But I think he's like that in general. I think he just plays with absolute pussies next to him.
Jesus.
which kind of doesn't help.
So you think Maguire is someone that United should be taking forward?
100%. I still think he's the best centre back at the club.
Comfortably.
Maguire is the best centre back in the club.
Comfortably. Who's his competitors?
This is a player.
So you think Maguire's better than Lisandro Martinez?
100%.
Is that because of injuries or because of him as a player?
Both. I think Lisandro's obviously better than him on the ball, but what does that mean when you're 5'7", you can't really play on the front foot, you get injured every 2 minutes? He's not really, he's a mirage. But I like Lisandro, but he's got his uses, but... Yeah, he's definitely not.
So you think
Maguire
is a centre back to take United forward?
100%. Yeah, I would go next season.
Does he have the pace?
Pardon?
Does he have the pace to do so?
I mean, I think he showed when you put him next to a centre back that can kind of compensate for that. He's more than fine. I think he showed that today. He was probably one of United's best players.
Fair enough.
He was decent today.
He was very good.
That's such a stretch. He was decent. You realise we had a lot of chances, bro.
Yeah, but you can't blame that on him. You can only blame that on one bold man. And a man with a nose job.
Okay, I want to discuss a second player in a less positive light. Casemiro.
Oh my God.
How many times did he lose the ball in the field?
He was shambolic. The thing is, though, he started off really well, you know. He actually started off really well. He was making
first
a lot.
20 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, that first 15 minutes, making some great tackles, actually distributing the ball quite well. And then obviously he lost his legs and he went back to the usual nonsense that we know him for. I've been saying this for a long time. He's a terrible signing. He's not that great of a player. Whether he once was at Real Madrid is you know up for opinion and up for debate. I think he was a good player, solid player. Obviously played next to two of the best midfielders of all time. So it's hard. I think it's a bit hard not to look somewhat competent when you're doing that. But when you've kind of, now that he's coming as the main man, he's on a main man contract, a main man transfer fee. He's kind of that guy that you're looking to with the leadership and experience. He shows nothing. He's a headless chicken. He loses composure. He can't tackle. He can't pass. He can't hold position. All he's really good for is off the ball runs and set pieces. That he's really good at. But
So I've got a wider question about United then. So obviously Kobbie Mainoo's going to come into the scene. Great player. Other midfielders you have, Amrabat, Mason Mount, Bruno Fernandes. I'm guessing that next season Amrabat's not going to be there.
I hope not.
You probably want to get rid of Casemiro. You feel like you need another defensive midfielder 100%. There. Okay, do you have any idea what type of profile you're looking for?
I think, it's interesting because I think prior to Mainoo's arrival, I would have liked more. In fact, Partey was always kind of, before he went to Arsenal, was the player I was looking at that I wanted at United. And I still wanted someone in that mold. I think athletically very good, but also very, very good in the ball. Kind of someone that can play as an 8, but is very comfortable at a 6 as well.
Okay.
That was the mold of player I was looking for. Someone like that. I think now that Mainoo's kind of has broken onto the scene, I think that gives United a bit more leeway in the profile they're looking for. And I think you can kind of look more into that Casemiro profile, but just with a bit of added competency.
but just actually being good.
Yeah, which I think helps United in the transfer market next season, because that kind of
is an easier profile.
Yeah, it's an easier profile to find.
What type of profiles?
I think United are looking at, I think Onana's someone that's been...
Yeah, talked about quite a lot.
Yeah.
He's all right.
I think... He's not
a world beater, but he does the job.
Yeah, and I think if you can show glimpses of quality in such a dysfunctional team, I do always think that's a positive.
Too many black centre mids, man.
Huh?
Nothing.
Sorry?
That was crazy. Okay.
Moving on, I feel like... By the way, do you feel like Casemiro's career is a sham?
I mean, sham is a strong word because he's done things that, you know, I could only dream of. So the sham is about...
5 Champions Leagues.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't call it a sham, but let's not over-reg it and call him, you know, one of the best midfielders of all time or defensive, you know.
Well, that then it's a little bit over...
No, but sham, you wouldn't... That's not
no one's
sham.
Ever called him one of the best midfielders of all time, have they?
Best DMs, they have.
Some people have called Casemiro the best DM of all time. Some people
definitely.
Have. Definitely.
He was in those conversations.
Some people have.
Fair enough, man.
In the conversation. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'll never put him up there, but...
So a little bit overrated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the United transfer showing that, same with Varane.
Okay. Interesting.
I think with Varane, he was even overrated at Real Madrid. There was glimpses in Real Madrid where you saw that this wasn't the...
As good as you thought.
I mean, every time Ramos was injured and he had to like be the leading centre back, it was never.
Yeah.
And same things happened at United. Cool. Really.
Moving on to like the title race. So I guess what does this mean for the title race? You guys kind of got onto me. Who are you guys' favourites then?
I don't think anything's changed. I still think City will win the league, and I think Arsenal finished third. Thank you very much. I hate that club, Arsenal.
Okay.
I don't really like to discuss this topic because there's 3 shambolic options for me, really.
What's the best of the?
Didn't Gary Neville say something like that? It's like probably like choosing between 3 blokes to nick your wife.
Yeah. Do you know what? My one's controversial though. I actually want Liverpool. I think Liverpool's the best of a bad bunch for me to win the league.
Why?
Really? Even though they are technically our biggest rivals. All right. So obviously Arsenal's just a non-starter for me, right? I live with 2 Arsenal fans. My twin brothers are Arsenal fans. My boss is an Arsenal fan.
Death to the Arsenal.
Yeah. That can never happen. I want to see bad things, and bad things only happen to these people.
Facts.
In my life.
Facts.
City, if they win, that's 4 on the trot. And I don't think, so that means they've outdone all our accomplishments apart from 20 times.
115 charges. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But still, like, I don't want
it
that
would
in the
conversation.
Yeah, I don't want that in the conversation. So that can't happen. Liverpool, cool, 21 times, but after Klopp, realistically, they ain't winning for another 20 years. We'll catch them back. So Liverpool, man.
You think so?
Sound argument, to be fair.
No, Amorim's coming, man. He's got something for. He's got something for the league.
If you say so.
Okay. Yeah, he's better than Ten Hag.
That's not saying much.
When you get Thomas Frank as a manager, we'll get back to this.
Okay, cool.
Bro, you might not... Tuchel's your next manager.
So
watch.
I just want to speak a little bit about Arsenal. So you sound like you're not really convinced about what you're saying.
I will never be convinced. Ever.
So just...
ever. So there's nothing Arsenal can do to convince me. Even on the final day. Until they lift that trophy, I won't be convinced.
Okay, so...
Firstly, like... We're going to go around in circles here.
The history of the Arsenal.
They don't have... I don't think they have the attacking force right now to win the league. I feel like City are slowly grinding away results, even though they haven't been great. City won 4-2 this weekend.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great performance for City. The first half was shambolic. But City do this thing where they just know how to win games.
Yeah.
I don't think the Arsenal players have the experience, firstly. The ability, secondly. Like, they're praising...
Second title race, no?
Doesn't matter. They're praising guys like Havertz in this race. But like, come on, man. Let's be serious. This is the same Havertz that was at Chelsea. And no one's going to tell me otherwise. They're very sound. 100% they're very sound. And I do believe that Arsenal will win still a lot of games this season. They will concede less than most other teams. But when it comes to that crunch period, when they need to pull off results, when City are just continuing to churn away results, Arsenal will falter. Mark my words, Arsenal will falter. And I'll be there at the end of the season laughing my head off.
Real, bro.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Fair.
I feel like Arsenal's form is sensational.
It might be. It doesn't mean they're going to win the league.
I think they've got a real good chance. I don't really believe that they'll necessarily falter. They could do, of course, you know, and this form could end. But
we've seen Liverpool do this
in terms
before.
Of how impressive they have been playing, I do feel like, you know, they do deserve, like, some applause. Like,
from who?
myself and okay, just the general, the league, I just feel like they are the most informed team in Europe, bro. When I'm watching their games, yeah, as a Liverpool fan, I'm frustrated because I just they don't give the opposition team even a good period in the game. They're not conceding chances, let alone goals. They're looking solid when they're attacking. Honestly, every part of their gameplay is fantastic. They press high and aggressive like a Liverpool team. They play in between the lines like a Pep team.
A bit much, man.
Yeah. And they defend well in a block like a Simeone team, bro. Honestly, it's fantastic. I have to say, fair enough in terms of
the basics of football well.
That's it.
And when you do those to a real high level, you end up with a very good team.
What is scintillating about Arsenal? What is scintillating about
I wouldn't call it scintillating. It's very systematic. So
why all this high praise?
Yeah.
Because in terms of getting results and dominating football games, it's flawless.
Is it?
Yeah. That's why they've been in such good form. I know you guys don't want to just admit but you still don't
think they win the league.
Yeah, man.
No, I think they got a good chance.
You said City will
win the league.
Second favourites, though. It's not a lot.
Your first favourites.
Yeah, but it's not a lot. When I put Liverpool as third, we're talking.
Okay, but
you said City are in a mistake like Kwanzaa today. Like these little things.
That's fine. But you said City's form is a bit so-so. But you've got all this high praise for Arsenal, yet you still don't think Arsenal's form is good enough.
They just got that mentality.
So Arsenal are lacking something.
They still are lacking something. But I'm just saying they're fantastic, though. No, they're
fantastic. Maybe fantastic is not the word to use. They're good, great, they're good,
but they're lacking something that they need to win the league.
Just a little bit, though. I think their mentality is improved.
Whether it's a little bit, whether it's
like
a lot.
Like last season, we could see that they were way off on the mental side of things. Now, I think they're close.
I think
they're there in terms of the mentality, in terms of they do have title mentality. I just feel like City's is next level.
Do you even know what title mentality looks like? When
City are in a position where they can't lose, they don't lose. Do you know what I mean? Like when the pressure's on in a game.
That's real mentality, bro.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Arsenal ain't got that in them.
Not to the same extent.
They ain't got it in them.
Oh my God, this guy's using so many words to say like nothing.
Yeah. I'm willing to give them their credit, man. They're a very good team.
Yeah, no one said they're not.
Fair enough, man. We'll move on. Oh, De Bruyne's two goals, by the way. Oh my days. But
Grealish has played for the second goal. Amazing as
well. I feel like Grealish, he was good, but I feel like Grealish gets like some of the nicest treatment I've seen from a £100 million signing. Like that I've ever seen. Like I've never seen a £100 million signing like that plays in attack.
He's just there for vice.
Get so little goals and assists and everyone say, oh, but look at everything he does outside of it. Paul Pogba was playing in a double pivot in a 4-2-3-1 under Mourinho.
Speak.
And they were saying that he's not getting enough goals and assists.
Speak. And this is a guy that was getting 20 goals and assists a season.
Do you know what I mean? Jack Grealish has like 10 goals and assists across like 3 seasons in the league. And they'll say, oh, but look at what he does outside of it. Understand football more than it. Just because, I don't know, he's white.
Whoa.
And he's got like nice, I don't know what it is. Like he's got a good personality. I don't know. Even looking at the difference between Pogba and Grealish, that must be a factor, right?
No, the factor is that United needed
Pogba. He's British,
United
darling.
Needed Pogba. Grealish was a part of a ready, amazing system. So his input is less gravitas in a sense.
Yeah, because you still got those guys balling.
Without Pogba, United would have been nothing.
No. I do hear that, but I still do think like...
Until Bruno came, obviously.
Okay. Even still, I feel like when the media want to, even when the team's doing well, they do kind of gun for like a major signing. Obviously, it's always going to be less when your team's doing well. There's less attention on you, right? There was a lot more attention on someone like Nunes last season than to this season. Obviously, he has improved, but a big element is that Liverpool are doing well. But still, I still feel like with Grealish, people are always trying to... They are very nice for £100 million. I think he's the most expensive player in Premier League history.
Enzo.
No, how can he be?
Oh, Enzo. Oh my God.
He gets a very nice treatment as well.
No, he does not.
Yes, he does.
He gets
his treatment is far too good.
You guys are so crap that people stop speaking about you. That's why.
Every time Chelsea
No, it's not enough.
Every time Chelsea have a bad result, the first person they talk about is Enzo.
That's not true.
He might not have
that's
done anything
true.
Wrong.
That's not true. You guys get them to talk about Conor Gallagher.
Because he's shit. Bro, don't piss
me off,
man.
Wait. Move on, because I think we've done enough of that. Wait, so you don't rate Gallagher?
No, I'm not rating. Everyone knows I don't rate Gallagher.
Wait, what's it? But I think Gallagher's been a player that a lot of Chelsea fans have said that he's been a shining light this season.
He has, though.
What shining light, bro?
Wait, so you don't see
shining light to where? Where's he led up?
He led you to victory last week, bro.
Gallagher's a... How?
Palmer did that.
How? Wait, hold on.
No.
Anyway, let's get back onto Gallagher. I've spoken about this so many times, yeah?
Okay.
I get it. He's a very passionate player.
Okay, yeah.
He covers so many blades of grass. Mm-hmm. He's so enthusiastic.
That's important.
He's making tackles left, right, and center. But I've said this time and time again. If you want to be a top level team, you cannot have a player like Gallagher playing as your number 10. As a number 10 in the Premier League.
Because he presses high.
It makes no sense. You have a defensive 10. What the hell is that?
He
hasn't got the quality on the ball to be playing at a top level. And yes, it might look good at this stage where Chelsea is fighting in 10th place battles. But if we want to be the team that we need to be in the future, challenging for titles, challenging for top four, we cannot have a player like Gallagher. He makes too many mistakes. He breaks down play too much and interferes with other players' game.
Do not like this guy.
I have a question.
Go on.
Switch. Well, you see those three things, yeah? Could they not be said to apply to Enzo?
Explain that to me. How would they apply to Enzo?
Huh?
He's not passionate. No.
The three things. What was those three qualities you said? That repeat them.
Okay, so but Gallagher, the qualities of Gallagher. Yeah, I said that he's a passionate.
No. The three things you said he doesn't have.
Whoa. Enzo has a lot of technique on the ball.
Okay.
Yes? He does not affect... He helps other players rather than...
Does he?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
With his passing, with his bringing in players.
What about off the ball? Does he help his teammates?
Gallagher does the off the ball work. I'm not talking about off the ball work.
But I'm saying, does Enzo do it?
Yes, he does. He's not as athletically capable as Gallagher, so it can look frail at times.
So I feel like Gallagher and Enzo are completely different players.
Do you not necessarily think that Gallagher is there to make up for your 120 million boys' deficiencies?
No.
How did you come to that conclusion?
The problem there is not to do with Gallagher or Enzo. The problem there is to do with Poch. If Poch had a better system, because what Poch tries to do with Enzo is he tries to get him to move around the pitch and play quite vertically. Enzo's not that sort of player. You don't want him running around. You want him sitting a bit, not having all the defensive responsibility, but sitting able to dictate play, play players in.
So you think he should play deeper?
I don't think Enzo needs that much.
Caicedo, 100%.
I don't think you need to cater.
At Benfica, he was in a pivot.
Yeah.
Why should he not play a pivot at Chelsea?
Benfica, do you think you need to cater to Enzo that much that he needs a Caicedo and Gallagher next to him?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
No. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think
he's not physically good enough. And he's shown it.
No, he's not physically good enough. Caicedo's quite physically capable.
He's not physically good enough because you're asking him to do too much.
And I don't think Caicedo's the best physically. He's like a Pogba. He's a mirage. Really? He's big and strong, yeah.
He's not big and strong. What are you talking about?
He's quite built. He's very strong. But in terms of actually using his body well, he's a bit brainless. I don't know. I don't rate them too as a
double
pivot.
I think he gets around the pitch, though.
He definitely gets around the pitch.
I just think Poch's system, he wants players running. He wants players running. He wants players pressing. That's
a lot, you know.
Poch has been
that. But I think that's every system
since Southampton, since Tottenham, he's been like that.
A lot.
Yeah, but I don't think you can get away with, like, especially in midfield, I don't think you can get away with passengers anymore.
It's not a passenger, a player that sits is not necessarily a passenger.
But you're forcing him to sit because Cruz,
would you call him a passenger?
I don't think you could get away with him in the Premier League, especially the way he currently plays.
Man.
I don't think you could.
That's
depends how you play him.
I don't think that's
very interesting.
Does Rodri move around a lot? If you play him as the deepest midfielder, if you play Enzo as the deepest midfielder, then you play Caicedo.
But I don't think Enzo's got the quality to play six in the same way Rodri does.
As a lone six?
I think he's more of an eight.
He's not as defensively sound.
No, he would that as well, but I think
playing a double
his
pivot,
temperament
though.
And passing wise, he's more of an eight. He's more creative.
Double pivot. Trust me, Enzo's best bet is double pivot.
But then that six or eight next to him needs to be...
Anyway, guys, let's get on
Caicedo.
To...
Caicedo.
Nah, I need more than that.
If you say so. But anyway, guys, let's kind of move more into Chelsea wider because I want to get some agendas here. So...
What questions do you have for me, brother?
Okay, like I feel like you've been on a little bit of a whirlwind this week because I've been talking to you as we've been watching the games in the yard. So obviously midweek you had that crazy 4-3 versus United.
You saying, bro?
That was some of the worst game management I've seen in my life.
Listen, El Gaib.
My God.
Cole Palmer.
You man were lucky, though.
The coldest.
But after that, you were telling me, Mark.
The best right winger in the Premier League.
I wouldn't go that far.
What?
You heard what I said, cuz.
Do you want to ring the bell?
Yeah, let's not.
I ain't got words.
Let's not.
I haven't got the energy.
Anyway, Marcus, you were telling me that, yeah, you know, we might be able to sneak sixth. You know, that.
Be serious.
Let me walk for you through my thought process around
you
this.
Go on,
please.
Go on,
all right, cool.
Go on,
so this is before the Sheffield game, yeah? All right, cool. We played Sheffield, it was 2-2. But before the game, yeah, I saw the fixture list. I saw, okay, cool. Chelsea got Sheffield this weekend. United are playing Liverpool. At this point, Chelsea is 5 points behind United with the game in hand. I'm thinking, if Liverpool do what they need to do and beat or draw to United, then if Chelsea win a game against Sheffield and our game in hand, we got better goal difference than United at this stage right now. United is on minus one goal difference. We're sixth, and the games in hand we have are Sheffield, and I think the second one is West Ham. Winnable game. So in my head, I said, if Chelsea, after this United game, we pick up some form, that United game should have told the players, we can achieve something. We're a good team. We came back from the depths of despair to do something. So the hope I had for Chelsea came back. That little glimmer.
So you made two mistakes in stage one of this plan already, but
well, hold on.
Continue.
One little glimmer is all I needed. I said, Pochettino, you have to give me this. You haven't given me anything this whole season.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just asking for you to finish sixth place. We've got a game in hand. We've got a good set of fixtures. And then what happens? We go up north to Sheffield and we draw 2-2 to a team that have been getting battered left, right and centre.
They have 15 points. Well, before you.
Pochettino will not be well
with
you.
It's a tough place to go to, though.
Pochettino, hand in your resignation, please. Please. What did you say?
So it's a tough place to go to.
You know you've drawn 2-2 to Sheffield and Burnley in like recent weeks.
That's crazy.
Or was Burnley 2-2?
It was 2-2 as well.
That's crazy.
What's wrong with you?
Burnley was 2-2 at home, by the way.
They also, I just don't think Bayern's team are really that great. I think midfield, they're very much deficient. I know Kimmich thinks he's a solid number six and, you know, should be leading Bayern there. He definitely shouldn't be doing that. Goretzka is a mirage of a footballer. He just runs up and down. German, McTominay.
They have more than enough.
They don't. They really
Musiala,
don't.
Sané,
Musiala's a great player, but he's still very young. Sané and, you know, Gnabry both coming off very bad
injuries.
But
they had enough to win the league if Leverkusen weren't this good. Like, Bayern are better.
Yeah,
than
but
what
that's yeah, but
right
you can't
now.
You can't always rely on everyone being trash, and you know.
Yeah. Leverkusen aren't just good. They're
really good.
They're really good. Yeah.
Have they lost the season yet?
No.
They haven't lost the game. We're in April.
They have six games left.
I just said Bayern, you could see from the outside that Bayern were very unstable.
Fair enough.
And I just didn't think it was a good move for Kane. And, you know, United are suffering as well, but could have been a different story for everyone.
He doesn't win the league at United, though.
Definitely not.
I don't know if this bold manager. Like, yeah. I don't know if he wins the trophies that he wants at United.
But, you know, he's still basically in the same position, really, isn't it?
Mm. All right, guys. Final topic then. Let's go into what did we call the thing again? I'll do the whiteboards. You tell them what it is.
So we're gonna go into let me talk to him, ballers.
Let me talk.
Yeah? That's that baller that everyone's written him off. He's not going anywhere with his career, but you believe there's something inside there that he can bring back and show guys that he's the guy.
Yeah. You're on the thing where no. Let me. I understand him.
You know what I mean?
You guys already know what I'm gonna say.
You don't see him how I see him.
Don't say Rashford.
Oh, God.
All right, cool.
Fair enough. Who's my... Yo, bro, who did I mention this morning?
I can't remember.
Gee. Oh. Oh, my things. My whiteboard's finished. Pen. Pull yours off till you're done. One second.
I got two.
That's nice.
Who have the streets written off?
By the way, like halfway through, I accidentally pressed record again. I don't know if I stopped or continued, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Literally like 2 minutes ago. It's fine.
Yeah, I saw you do that. Did that do anything?
It restarted the timer, Solana.
I'm sure.
I don't know if that...
It might just be two different things we just have to add together. It was 1 second it lasted for. But we'll see.
Okay.
I pressed the record button by accident.
No, it's fine. It would have saved the last recording.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, 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 it's him. All right, cool. I'm trying to think if I've got another one.
No word. I want to. Can't.
I've got one.
Can't defend this guy every day, man.
You got me. Trying to think now. I don't really believe in him. All right, let me just go for this one. It won't be that great. You, man, will go. Right. And then I'll see if I can think of something.
Start off with Raf. Who is your let me talk to him baller, Raf?
Mr. MR10.
MR10.
Okay, talk us through that.
You know, there's been a lot of talk on Marcus Rashford this season from a lot of people.
He hasn't done anything this season.
You may say that. Neither has his team. I think people are talking, you know, it's a very pivotal moment in his career. He's what, 26, 27? Something like that. Kind of people are looking for him to kick prime. On to the next stage. This is where, yeah, you'd be looking for him to enter his prime, leading Man United to titles. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he's not been put in a very stable environment. But I just don't think you can ever count out a footballer with all the attributes that he has. I think he's got some attributes that are probably put him, you know, in conversations with some of the world's best in terms of, you know, raw pace, ball striking ability, mm-hmm. Ability to find a run. I just think he's got some extremely, extremely high level qualities. That means you can never count him out. And I think you can see that within a 90 minutes, even if he is having a very poor game, he'll still give you one moment that will very much worry your defenders. And I think that is the sign of a very, very, very good player. And I think somebody who has achieved what he has achieved in his career already, you look at the amount of goals he scored, the amount of assists he's achieved, he's probably on his way to being one of Man United's all-time leading goal scorers. You know, if he plays, if he does kick on and does play for United for the rest of his career, he could even maybe look towards Wayne Rooney's record.
What does he need? To bring out the potential.
Honestly, I think he needs a consistent team and a consistent manager. I think that's all
he
needs.
Like, he always needs a lot.
Not really, but if you look at the level of management and coaching he's never had a stable environment. He's never had anyone to give him confidence. He's always been kind of, he's always had his chain yanked at those kind of pivotal moments, whether you talk about Mourinho buying Sanchez, or you look at Eric Ten Hag this season. He kicked on last season, and now Ten Hag has kind of come and done stupidness in this season. You look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he had a really good season, and then Ronaldo kind of came and took his leading status in that front line. So I think if you do apply a context to his career, I think he has been dealt a very set of unfavorable conditions.
Shouldn't his talent just shine through anyway?
But I think it does. I think it does, and if it didn't, he wouldn't be at the level he is right now.
Has his talent shone through this season?
I mean,
I think he's quite mentally fragile.
Well, that's something that could be said. I don't think that's fair. I don't think it is fair. I think somebody that goes through the intense scrutiny that he does, I think he's bound to go through moments like this. But if you look this season, I think Man United have only actually won 2 games when he's not started. So I think that says it all, really. Even if he doesn't have the best performance in that shirt, the team doesn't.
You'll never give up on this guy. We should have put Maguire down.
I was considering it.
Okay, let's move on to AA. Who is your?
So I've got two actually. So funny enough, I've actually got United players. So my first one's Onana.
Oh,
I feel like Onana.
I don't think Onana needs to be talked to be honest.
So I feel like Onana at the start of this season, I think the problem with Onana is I think he was initially overrated by a lot of United fans. We had Mr. Man here telling us that he was going to be the best Premier League keeper above Alisson. And I'm not going to lie, his start to football in the league.
To be better than the guy that's not playing.
His start to football in this league, especially in the Champions League,
shambolic.
Some of the worst keeping I've seen from a top-level keeper in a long while. He couldn't save shots. He just couldn't save shots. The fundamentals just didn't seem to be there whatsoever. And he's got a lot of flack. And a lot of people still think he's rubbish. But if you've been watching Onana recently and you look at United concede a lot of shots.
Yeah.
Like
five. I think the number is 560 in the last 10 or so games. 500? No, no, no.
No, that wouldn't crazy. Be right.
That's 56 a game, bro.
Yeah. Okay, maybe
20. You've been conceding like 30 shots a game. Like
yeah. That, yeah. That's still crazy.
That's still crazy, yeah, yeah. So they've been conceding a lot of shots. He's faced a lot. And he's been good. I'm not going to lie. But he's kind of like, I don't feel like he's as good as people maybe claim, but he's a solid keeper. So I think it's just about the fact that he's actually a solid player. I feel like a lot of people.
I don't think that qualifies as a let me talk to him.
I feel like a lot of people think he's still rubbish. I see a lot of him.
But you're saying he's currently giving us good performances. So do you actually need to talk to him? Or does he just need to continue his being the form?
I guess he needs to continue, yeah. But yeah. It's just like, there's a player there. Like, continue. Like, but I still feel like he's got a little bit of bozo in him. So like, I just want to talk to him. Just say like, calm down and keep on doing you, bro. On that type of thing.
Do you think he needs anything?
Does he need anything?
I think he needs to work on his handling.
He still needs to work on his handling a little bit. And I just think as well, there's a player there, but yeah, just calm down a bit. I think he's a bit emotional as well. Yeah. Like sometimes you can see it.
I think what has helped him find form is that for all the kind of things that have been said about his actual raw goalkeeping ability, is that on the ball, which is where most of his reputation came from, he's been still very exceptional throughout the season, which has helped.
Cool. Moving on quickly, I want to talk about Romero. I think
Tottenham Romero.
Yeah. So he's one that I believe in. Like, he's one that people have always said that he's kind of rubbish. He's way too rash. And he is a bit rash. But I think he has calmed down a bit this season. I think Postecoglou's helped him. And I also think outside of that, like, I know he did,
I don't know if he's calmed down this season. He got a red against Chelsea.
Yeah, that's the only one he's got. Like, his only red he's got. Also, I don't feel like he's been, like, before he'd get reds and also he'd, like, make loads of, like, rash errors in the game. I think he's kind of, like, got that out of his game a fair bit. And then also, I think, like, outside of that, like, people, they just look to that and don't really see that he's quite a good player. Like, he's quite good on the ball. He's got good physical aspects. He's a good leader. I feel like he's a good player. Like, I think he's a proper player. I feel like, in terms of talking to him, I just tell him, just calm down a bit. Like, you don't need to always play on 100. But I feel like it's definitely coming into his game now. I think Postecoglou's done well with him. I think he's a top-level centre-back.
I mean, I don't think the criticism of him has ever been that he's bad at football or defending. I just think...
too aggressive.
Yeah, and you ultimately can't... If you can't rely on a centre-back, then you can't go forward.
But I think he's starting to show that, like... there's a bit of a calmer temperament.
But he hasn't, because in one of Tottenham's biggest moments,
it's one game.
Yeah, but that's what it comes down to.
He got sent off once this season, bro.
He
shouldn't get sent off this season.
Come on, man. There's centre backs who got sent. Van Dijk got sent off this season.
That's bad from him.
Yeah, so he's still been one of the best centre backs in the league, has he not?
But that's why he's not with the likes of Saliba and Gabriel.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
No, that's why you don't fancy Liverpool as title favourites.
No, it's nothing to do with Van Dijk.
Did Liverpool lose
points?
Did Liverpool lose points?
Marcus, go on.
Okay.
So I got two ballers. The first one I'm going to go with is, everyone knows who I'm going to go with first. The boy João Felix.
Oh my God.
The boy João Felix.
Oh my. Bro, I haven't heard his name in time.
He came to the Bridge last season and he showed me what football is. You know, I feel like with this whole system-based...
When?
Last season, this whole system-based Klopp football... Pep football, we've lost the essence of football, the art, the brilliance. I saw that at the Bridge.
With João Felix.
With João Felix.
In what match?
Off the seat stuff.
In which
against
match?
Dortmund, against Fulham. This guy was brilliance, I saw. He's gone to Barcelona this season, picked up some goals here and there, but the system and Xavi's football hasn't been to his advantage. I was hoping that he would go on to Barcelona, it's a bit more settled than Chelsea, and then show us what he can do. It hasn't been that way. But I know, I've seen the play in there. I've seen the world-class potential in there. I've seen top three ballers in the world potential in João Felix.
Yeah, that's you're not well.
Potential.
Yeah, you're
keyword.
Not well. Yeah.
Keyword,
you're potential. Still not well. You're still not well.
The things this guy can do with the ball is amazing. Don't sleep on him. He needs a settled environment with a starting place in the team. What Xavi has done, he's rotated his front three way too many times. He has the likes of Ferran Torres, the likes of Rafinha, the likes of Lewandowski, the likes of, what's this young kid's name? Jamal, whatever the guy's name is.
Jamal?
Yeah. Looks like a Jamal. But anyway, he has so many different attackers and he's been rotating them too much. So Felix doesn't have a settled place in the team. I need to talk to him, tell him, go to a club where you're settled. You're a starter. You play every match. All the players play to your music, you get.
Wow.
And you will see brilliance. You will see what I'm talking about.
All right, Sané.
My next player is Leroy Sané. this season he's got off to a brilliant start. I truly believe ability-wise, he is the best right wing in the world. Ability-wise. His ability to work off both wings as well. His finishing, his passing.
The best right wing in the world.
Yes.
He hasn't scored in 3 months.
I literally just said ability-wise.
But like, if surely if you've got the best finishing ability, you would score.
We saw that ability at the beginning of the season. He was one of the highest scorers in the Bundesliga. He was the best right winger on form at a certain point in time. Yeah. I need to talk to him to tell him, wake up.
So what's going on?
What's that Ghanaian brother says who does the fitness thing?
Wake the fuck up, guys.
That's what you sound sounding.
Single ingredient food.
You need to remind him that, brother, you are a baller. You are one of the best ballers in the world.
What happens to him?
Probably a mentality thing for him. Mm. He's too settled in Germany.
I mean, I think the injury's done him, innit?
I don't think so. I still feel like he has that ability. I've seen it from him.
He'll never... But a lot of his game... was based on that explosiveness.
Yeah, I feel like
he'll never quite. It's like Rooney after the foot injuries.
I still believe Sonny
has there, quality. But he'll never Rooney
was,
quite.
Rooney,
just...
I think, it was also the beers and cocaine.
Allegedly, Rooney. allegedly. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Allegedly, I should say.
But yeah, those are my two.
Fair enough, guys. Well, I actually wanted to say one last thing, Gabriel. I'm not gonna lie, yeah, you are a baller. Honestly, the way that guy plays. Reminds me of a young Alessandro Nesta, honestly.
No.
The what I see from him, what I've been seeing this week, and I feel like Saliba often takes.
Name the qualities. Name comps. What is it that reminds you of him?
Name a game that you thought, yeah. Nesta
It's watching Nesta comps, isn't it? But okay. it's like the pace, the tight defending, the elegance on the ball. I just feel like Gabriel at the moment. The way he's playing.
I wouldn't really associate Nesta.
The way Gabriel's playing at the moment, yeah. It's just sensational. Like, I like the way he plays, like that bully ball nature to the way he plays. Like, he approaches strikers like, I'm faster than you, I'm stronger than you, I want this more than you. And I feel like Saliba takes a lot of the plaudits at Arsenal. But Gabriel, for me, he's been the star centre back for Arsenal, and I think he's been so good. Like, he is a proper top defender and a leader.
If you go back to last season, there was the same rhetoric from a lot of Arsenal fans. They were saying, actually, like, Gabriel's been better than Saliba this season. People haven't been noticing. And they're saying the same this season, which just makes me question, do they just truly believe Gabriel's the better?
He might be, because honestly, he is a bully. He's just a flat track bully.
Saliba appears better on the eye because Saliba's just always calm.
Yeah, graceful.
Very calm and graceful. So that appears to be better.
But anyway, guys, thank you for another episode of The Rondo. We are at time. We love you. We will be back next week for our last ever episode of The Rondo podcast. But don't worry, what we've got next in store is going to be something real special.
Are we going to get one last hype boom?
Maybe next week.
Thanks, guys.
Fucking hell, it's my fight.